Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's a Tuesday, the 19th of June, 2012, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and you can hear our program on any one of three sites, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. All post the Buckmaster Show, so you'll be able to hear it anywhere, anytime. We're live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We're going to get things rolling this Tuesday afternoon with Tucson Weekly Arts editor Margaret Regan. Margaret will have our bi-monthly arts report, 20 minutes past the hour. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman will be with me in studio for the Tuesday Money Maker Report. Shell's got a big smile on his face. And that indicates to me that the market must be doing pretty well today. 30 minutes past the hour, the Buckmaster Show candidate interview series welcomes Mark Napier, one of five Republican candidates for Pima County Sheriff. Very crowded field there. We'll try to meet all of the candidates before Election Day. Then we close out the show with a newsmaker interview with State Senate President Steve Pierce, and we'll be talking with him about some of these deadlines set for Rio Nuevo. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. The bi-monthly arts report on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Let's join now Margaret Regan, the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor and the Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts. Margaret, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and you've got a busy day ahead of you checking out some of the visual arts, but let's begin with your Tucson Weekly story that will be coming out this week about a new show. Is it at the Contreras Gallery?
Yeah, the Contreras Gallery, which is down at that art-thick neighborhood at 6th and 6th, just north of downtown. Contreras Gallery is a small place. They also show the Contreras family jewelry, which is a longtime Tucson tradition. But they make a point every month of having a show by a local painter. And this month, it's quite a serious show. Carmen Arzones has made a whole suite of paintings about the migrants who die here in our deserts in southern Arizona.
And, of course, that hits very close to home for you because you have written about the subject.
Right, yeah. I've written a book on the subject, The Death of Joseline. And what's interesting is that we keep hearing, and it's true, we're getting many fewer migrants crossing. But, unfortunately, our numbers are still going up, the numbers of deaths. I was prompted in part to write this story by a new Border Patrol report last week. They said last year in May, we had 5 migrant deaths in southern Arizona, and then this May, we had 19. That's a huge jump up. As you know, it's very, very hot out there. We started out with a much earlier first day of 100 degrees. That was in April. That was the first time in almost 20 years we went to 100 degrees by April. So as soon as we start getting that very, very hot weather, we start seeing the deaths rise.
Margaret, let me ask you, why do you see no correlation between the fewer migrants crossing but still the deaths going up? And you're right. My goodness, it's going to be 118 in some parts of the Arizona desert today.
I know.
So this
I
is a very, very serious situation for people crossing. But why is it not the math not working out on this?
Well, the math is not working out because those who do come over are going into much more dangerous areas. And because, you know, we've really beefed up our border security, they have to walk much, much farther. Nowadays, most people are crossing through the Tohono O'odham Reservation, and they might have a 5-day walk ahead of them before they get to their ride. Sometimes they're going way north of Tucson, up into the Ironwood National Forest. And if you're out in the Tohono-O'odham Reservation, I'm sure you've been out there. It's so hot. It's hotter there than it is here. They call it the West Desert. It's hotter out there. And if you get into trouble, there are many fewer people to help. So, unfortunately, that's where most of our deaths are concentrated. Even the Border Patrol sees it that way. They say that, you know, they've got operational control of more of the border. So that means that people are going farther to find places that perhaps they don't have quite such a strong operational control, and they're more likely to die out there.
So the Contreras Gallery, that show at 6th and 6th in the Gallery District right near the Davis-Dominguez Gallery.
Right, yeah, and some actually quite beautiful paintings. I mean, despite this very tragic topic that Carmen is painting about, she's painted these migrants. They look like old-time saints to me. They've got halos around their heads. She drapes them in flowing robes. They're kind of, you know, people sanctified. So it's quite an interesting show.
Today you're going up to Rancho Linda Vista, the Barn Gallery up in Oracle.
Yeah, now that's always a fun trip, and I haven't been there in a while. That's about an hour northeast of Tucson. You get to drive way up past Oracle Junction and see open desert and mountain up there. It's just gorgeous. And in the town of Oracle, you probably know this, way back in the 60s, a little group of U of A professors decided to start an art colony at Rancho Linda Vista, which was an old dude ranch that was available. I'm pretty sure it was available for a song, a rundown old place. And it has been an active arts colony all these years. And they show members' works in the barn. And this show should be quite interesting because James G. Davis, a very well-thought-of painter in Tucson, former University of Arizona professor, getting on in years, I think he may be even 80, I'm not sure on that, he's presenting a show exclusively of paintings of his wife, Mary Ann, which he painted over all these years of his career. So we're going to be seeing Mary Ann at different ages and at different stages of James Davis's development. So it's an interesting way to look at an artist's career retrospectively, to just select one subject. And in this case, obviously, it's an emotionally bound subject because it's his own wife.
Margaret Regan is with us. This is our bi-monthly arts report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Moe'sGallery.com. Moe's Gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge. In the theater area, we have a branch of Live Theater Workshop doing what you have characterized as kind of, well, I guess, what is it, Psycho Beach Party? Is that
right.
The title?
And it's just the way it sounds.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
Now, Et Cetera is the late night branch of Live Theater Workshop. So, you know, these shows come on at 10:30 at night. And, you know, they're meant to be edgy. They're meant to be wild. And our theater critic, Laura Owen, described it as a mashup, this play, a mashup of 60s beach movies and psychological thrillers like Psycho. So you're combining, you know, Annette Funicello with... what's the name of the guy who played the psycho in Psycho?
Don't recall. I can picture him.
Right, that young man.
Yeah.
So anyway, so and the whole thing is done in drag.
The Bates Motel. Parts,
the beach bunnies are played by men, and the surfer hunks are played by women. So she says it's a lot of fun, and this is the last weekend of it.
We're quickly running out of time, but other arts theater, we've got a new project, Beowulf Gallery Theater downtown.
Yeah, Beowulf Theater, they're always trying to do different innovative things, and they have this new project, they're calling it The Next Theater, and it's this whole new thing, it's a new trendy thing in theater called devising a play. You don't sit and write a play, you devise it as a group, and you use all different kinds of media. So they are debuting one of their newly devised plays this weekend called Joan is Burning.
Hmm. If you're looking for a place to escape the heat, it's also a fun time to go to the Tucson Museum of Art. It's the last weekend for that big photography show.
Oh, well, the 100-year... No, they just opened last week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you have lots of time.
They opened this show last weekend.
Yeah, last weekend they opened the big show, which I haven't seen yet, but it sounds like fun. It's called 100 Years, 100 Ranchers, and this photographer from up in Phoenix, Scott T. Baxter, spent 10 years on this, traveling the state. He was looking for families who had ranched in the state for 100 years or more. And he's done big black and white photos of these members of old ranching families. And the TMA is doing it as their centennial project. As you know, we're at the 100th anniversary of statehood this year, so that seems like a really interesting way to celebrate.
And the Atherton Gallery always has such fine photography. They're opening, I guess, their summer 2012 show.
Yeah, this is a man named Julian T. Baker, about whom proprietor Terry Atherton has many, many stories. He's known this guy for years. He's helped him with his collection. And this man died, I guess, last year. And so Terry has gotten a hold of this collection, and I guess the guy had an amazing collection. Big, big names, you know, Harry Callahan, Frederick Summer, who was a distinguished Arizona photographer, Linda Connor, Richard Mistrack. So sort of the older generation and the new generation of photographers, and they're filling their whole gallery with just a small portion of this man's collection, and that's going to be up all summer.
That classic collection opens with a reception this Saturday, so that would be a fun time downtown, 7 to 10 for the reception at the Atherton Gallery, and the Atherton Gallery always puts on very quality shows, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Margaret Regan, thank you very much for joining us. Hope you have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Margaret Regan, the arts editor for the Tucson Weekly, and Margaret comes on our program at least twice a month. And the Arts Report is sponsored by Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing. Mohs is family-owned and run since 1985. Mohs specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at MohsGallery.com. Coming up next, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, Shelley Fishman, who is getting ready for quite a trip, an epic trip to Russia. You'll be leaving on Friday.
St. Petersburg, and then down the Volga and Moscow.
But the Tuesday Moneymaker Report will continue from Russia and Shell will be calling in here to the Buckmaster Show probably about St. Petersburg time, about 11:20 in the evening. So you will kind of close out your day telling us about what you've been doing.
And I will try to make the reports less vodka-soaked than not.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, but let's see, by about that hour, the Russian vodka may be taking over. But Russia has an interesting economy, doesn't it?
It does. Is, of course, a former communist country, and the move to capitalism there is extreme and a bit lawless, kind of like we were in the 1870s, 1880s. Not sure they're ready to make the same kinds of changes that we made at the turn of that century. But at some point they will. A lot of rich people in Russia right now and a lot of poor people in Russia.
Not much of a middle class, and that is certainly one of the challenges.
Right, and that, of course, is one of the challenges, and that's at the heart of some of the unrest that we're seeing with protests against Putin's control.
We'll be hearing from Shelley next Tuesday from St. Petersburg. But right now he is in Tucson, and he's been looking at the numbers. And the market's been doing pretty well the last couple of – well, not so much yesterday, but
– yeah, June is busting out all over in this particular case.
Yesterday was flat, but
yesterday was
the
flat,
day
Friday
before,
was wonderful,
the market and, before was pretty good last
today,
Friday.
Today is up about 100 points. The indices for the year so far are remarkably good, even though we had a very bad May. You know, as of a couple of minutes ago, the Dow was up almost 5.5% for the year, the NASDAQ up 12% for the year, the S&P 500 about 8% for the year. As you know, that's the outer limits of what I think we're going to be doing for the year.
Right.
So I continue to forecast volatility. There's still a bunch of stuff going on in the world that can get in the way of confidence overcoming those headwinds. But I think we'll be up for the year. I just don't think we're going to be up a lot more than we are right now.
Shelley, why are we not seeing interest rates climb at this point?
Well, right now the Fed is holding them down. And the picture that I get is the Fed kind of throwing itself on this blanket as this force for higher interest rates keeps struggling to escape, because the market really does want higher interest rates right now. Lower interest rates are hurting the banking sector. They're also hurting retirees and other people who are on fixed income. What lower interest rates do, of course, is theoretically stimulate the economy, and that's why the Fed is moving to keep them low. The market is pulling in the other direction, however. One thing, I never say anything is for certain, but one thing I think is for certain is that we will see first long-term interest rates and then shorter-term interest rates rise in the next year or two. And the question that you have as an investor is, of course, what is the impact when interest rates begin to rise?
Right. How should that change your strategy? Mm-hmm. And how should it?
Well,
or should it?
Well, it has to change your strategy if you've adjusted your strategy for a period, a long-term period of low interest rates. So that if you're heavy into 10-year treasuries, those are the holdings that are going to be the most immediately affected. So one of the strategies you would do in adjusting your portfolio would be to lighten up on medium-term treasuries and to try to find similar holdings that are less correlated with 10-year treasuries. And that could be anything from high-yield bonds to muni bonds to good interest-paying or dividend-paying stocks. It could be overseas sovereign debt, the sovereign debt of countries like Turkey or China or Brazil that are paying 6 and 7% right now and are likely not to be strongly correlated with treasuries.
You said that interest rates will be, you're predicting interest rates will be going up over the next year. How much? Very incrementally, very small?
Well, I don't see any activity that would indicate huge jumps in interest rates. So I think what we'll see is the Fed beginning to move probably before they said they were going to, in quarter point increments. There's no inflation that needs to be controlled. And so normally the Fed moves slowly, but the market moves more quickly than that. And so while the Fed is kind of dinking around with the overnight rate, the actual rate that the market experiences will be subject to market forces, and that could be as much as a point or two a year.
So inflation is not a worry in this country anyway.
Inflation is not a worry throughout the world right now. There may be pockets of inflation.
Can you summarize that for us, why that is the case?
Well, demand is down. This is the most basic law of economics. When demand is down, prices are down. When demand is up, prices go up. So with low demand and low amounts of cash that people are willing to spend, the cash is there. They're just not willing to spend it right now. So with low demand, with low amounts of cash in the marketplace, you get low demand, and that depresses prices.
Shelley Fishman is with us. This is the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, certified financial planner, who will be taking off for Russia, but we'll still be hearing from him a week from today anyway. Shell, what should people be doing right now with their portfolio in light of what you've just been talking about? Just kind of keep an eye on it with their planner?
Well, certainly keep an eye on it with your planner. Take a look at, you know, make a forecast. Do you think where you think the economy is going to be in, say, 2 years, and where you think interest rates are going to be, take a look at your portfolio, see what could be affected by that, and then start to move slowly and gradually to a new allocation that is appropriate for where you and your planner think the world is going.
Shelley Fishman with us on the Buckmaster Show. And Shell, we have not mentioned the big weekend election in Greece. Did the market on Friday... There had been some polling indicating that Greece would stay with the euro. Did the market pretty much then they kind of bought into the fact that they were going to stay into the euro.
I think that the market was optimistic toward the end of last week when their optimism proved to be well-founded. Then on Monday we had kind of a disappointing day. We also saw some concerns. The flip side of every coin is kind of the negative, the dark side of the coin. And the dark side in this case was, well, all they did was kick the can down the road again. The problems, the basic problems of the euro and the rules about the eurozone still need to be resolved. And the minute people get over the euphoria of, wow, the Greeks didn't do something, you know, intensely stupid, they only did something moderately stupid. And so the markets reacted coolly yesterday. Today we got some very good housing numbers, and so the market, really is going haywire today. Not haywire, but it's another three digit move.
We want to tell people where they can reach you, Shelley. Where do you operate out of, and how do we get a hold of you?
Well, it's Pyramid Federal Credit Union. We're in Moscow and St. Petersburg.
With branches
with
in
branches.
Yes, right.
but you can reach me using a domestic phone call at 520-795-7950. Please be aware of the 11-hour time difference.
Yes, and of course, there is a link on buckmastershow.com. We would love our listeners to go to buckmastershow.com. You'll see all of our fine sponsors, including you will see a link to Shelley Fishman. And again, Shelley, your phone number right now up until Friday,
it's the same phone number, 795-7950, and people can reach me, leave a message, and even on vacation, I do get back to people.
There you go. Shelley, have a great trip.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks. We'll hear from you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Ecuador's foreign minister says WikiLeaks chief Julian Assange has taken refuge in the South American country's embassy in London and is seeking political asylum. Greece's socialists say they'll be deciding tomorrow just how they'll participate in a new government, and by the middle of the day, they say a coalition government could be in place. The Navy is firing the commanding officer of the amphibious assault ship, the USS Essex. The action comes a month after the ship collided with a tanker off the coast of Southern California. Looking at Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow's up about 113 points at 12,855. The NASDAQ ahead 36, the S&P 15 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Really kind of
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Also, support comes for the program from Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, located in that beautifully designed Jostler building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Here on the Buckmaster Show, we are continuing to talk with as many of the candidates as possible between now and the Arizona primary. Today we'll be focusing on the Pima County Sheriff's race. There are five Republican candidates who are seeking the opportunity to win the Republican primary and then face off against longtime Democrat, the Sheriff of Pima County, Clarence Dupnik. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Mark Napier. Mr. Napier has 28 years in law enforcement, and he's with me in studio now. Mark, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Thank you for having me on the program.
Tell me a little bit about your law enforcement experience. I mentioned 28 years. It's quite a diversified experience that you bring to this post.
Yes, I do, and thank you. I was a police officer for 28 years, 21 of those years being with the Tucson Police Department. I progressively rose through the ranks. I was an officer, then a sergeant, then a lieutenant. And finally, when I retired in 2008, I was a captain. At that time, I was the commander of the Southside Patrol Division, where I had about 100 police officers that reported to me, and I was responsible for about a $15 million budget. I then went from there to the city of Glendale up in the Phoenix Valley, where I was the assistant director of the Glendale Police Department. I was in command of everything but SWAT and the field and internal affairs at Glendale. So I had about 300 direct reports up to me, and I was responsible for their budget, which is about $74 million. While I was in law enforcement, I went back to school, got my bachelor's degree in social psychology, and went on and got my master's degree from Boston University in criminal justice.
Why did you decide that you wanted to run for sheriff, and when did you make that decision?
Made the decision about 3 months ago. I decided that it was the right thing to do, and that's kind of my lifetime barometer. Is this the right thing to do? We have an absence of leadership at the Pima County Sheriff's Department under Clarence Dupnik right now. I saw that void, and some people reached out to me knowing my background and that I'm a good conservative Republican and asked me if I would be willing to do this. I thought about it, discussed it with my wife, and again, decided it was the right thing to do. It's time for new leadership there. It's time for a new sheriff.
It is a crowded field. As I mentioned, five Republican candidates. Whenever you have five candidates in a primary, it's going to be a small portion of votes that will win it for you. So you really need to separate yourself from the pack. And what is the key there for you to do that?
I think the key, and it's pretty clear, is education and experience. I hold a master's degree. I actually teach for Boston University. I manage their online master's in criminal justice program. I've written curriculum for Boston University's master's program. I've got a lot of other education. I'm a graduate of the Senior Management Institute for Police in Boston. And I've got 28 years of experience at executive level and senior management level experience. I've managed multi-million dollar budgets. The Pima County Sheriff's Department has a $120 million budget. I don't think we would want somebody to go in there on their first day and say that they've never looked at a budget before. I mean, the taxpayers have entrusted a good deal of their money to that department. It's a very complex agency, employs about 1,500 people. And I think experience, education, and qualifications matter.
What do you look at when you're looking at the Pima County Sheriff's Department? What are some of the impressions that you get looking at it, obviously from the outside, but what could you do to make it a better organization?
Well, that's a great question. I think the first thing is reestablish leadership in the sheriff's position. Sheriff Dubnik is pretty well isolated at the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and public safety in Pima County suffers because of that every day. So I think the first thing to do is to reestablish leadership, and that means reaching out to the other Southern Arizona sheriffs and the chiefs of police in the metropolitan area here and reestablish a cooperative, synergistic relationship with information sharing, resource sharing between those people. And then from the top down, reestablish leadership. Get back the deputies back in the job of attacking crime rather than responding to it, to engaging neighborhoods rather than driving through them, to get back to solid fiscal management. I've looked at the budget. There are some things in there that concern me about the allocation of where the money's going and the escalation of that budget without a clear benefit to public safety that came from that escalation in budget. So that's really the three things I'd look at: administration, meaning leadership, the operational efficiency of the department, and then the fiscal responsibility associated that. The public's given us $120 million. We should use those very wisely.
We're speaking with Mark Napier. It's spelled N-A-P-I-E-R. I'm pronouncing it correct?
Yes, okay. You are. Thank you.
As I'm looking at your little card here about what you would like to change and encourage people to vote for you, you said that you will be no political rhetoric, only a competent, dedicated sheriff. Has the sheriff, the current sheriff, Sheriff Dupnik, been too political in your opinion?
Well, I think most certainly in January of 2011 he was. The things that he said in national media about our community, about our county, about our state, shocked the conscience. They really did. As a law enforcement leader myself, my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe that he was using that opportunity to engage in political rhetoric when he, as the sheriff at that time, had a great opportunity to talk about very, very positive things. All the interagency cooperation that was occurring at that scene, he had federal people there, state people, municipal people there, and they were all working in a very complex criminal investigation at that time. He could have talked about that. He could have talked about the life-saving efforts going on at University Medical Center at that very moment to save the lives of people that were wounded there. He could have talked about this being a terrible anomaly in our community, that this isn't what we're about. We're not a bunch of bigots, racists. This isn't about right-wing media. I certainly would not have given Jared Longer an excuse for his conduct without anybody talking to him. The sheriff declared him mentally deranged and encouraged by right-wing media, all of which were proven to be untrue. He should have stepped up at that moment and been a law enforcement leader. Again, with SB 1070, he came out and said, I'm not going to enforce the law. It's unconstitutional. It's racist. And I think the Supreme Court probably will come back and uphold the majority of SB 1070. I think they're leaning in that direction. And it's not the place of a county sheriff to declare laws unconstitutional. That's what the Supreme Court is for. That's why they're here in this case. So I'm not about politics. It's a partisan race. But public safety and people feeling safe in their homes is not a partisan issue.
Mark Napier is with us. He is a Republican candidate for Pima County Sheriff. He's one of five Republicans who have jumped into this race. What about the response times, Mark, for Pima County Sheriff's deputies?
Well, that varies. I've looked at that. What they have on paper actually looks fairly favorable. I would agree that based on their reports, and I'm assuming that that data is accurate, I'd say they're doing a fair job. I think we could do some improvement. And again, I want to get out of the idea of responding to things and get into the proactive mode. And I think that's a problem with the sheriff's deputies right now. They don't have leadership on the ground encouraging this proactive approach. But I think in general, they're doing a pretty good job. I think the mid-level commanders of that agency are doing a fine job. And I think the men and women that are protecting our streets every day are fine people. They just need effective leadership.
What's the response been to your campaign? I know you've done quite a few media experience appearances, and you're going speaking to lots of groups.
We're getting a great response, and I think that's primarily because I'm a very qualified candidate. I'm a credible candidate to go up against Sheriff Dupnik in November, and I think people see that. People are visiting my website, which is Mark Napier, the number 4, sheriff.org. They're visiting that regularly. So I think we're having a great response. I'm very encouraged, and I'm hoping to be successful in August and go up against Clarence Dupnik in November.
What do you like best about law enforcement? What got you into this career?
I don't know. That's the honest answer. Ever since I was a little kid riding my bike in Iowa, I knew I was going to be a police officer or a school teacher, and why I cannot really tell you. And the irony or the ironic thing is that I ended up being both, which I've had a blessing in life. I really have. I just absolutely loved every minute of my 28 years of public service in law enforcement. I like the variety. I loved being a commander and leading young people out into the field and doing public safety work. It was very rewarding. I had a very rich career. I was decorated 5 times. I was just blessed to have a very good career in law enforcement. I'd like to get back into that.
You spent time with the Tucson Police Department. How do you think the relationship should be with Pima County and TPD?
A lot more effective than it is. There has always been a divide there. I, of course, know Chief Villasenor very personally. We went to school together, actually. So I think I can bridge these relationships. I know every chief of police in the Metropolitan Valley on a first-name basis because we worked together. I've known many of them for 25 years. And I think we can bridge some real good relationship building there, and that's an opportunity lost, and public safety suffers because of that.
You think there's too many turf battles going on between the two major law enforcement agencies?
I don't really think so, not on the part of the Tucson Police Department. I think that the Sheriff's Department has just kind of isolated itself under Sheriff Dubnyk's leadership, and that's a mistake that I'll correct as your sheriff.
Mark Napier, our guest on the Buckmaster Show, as we've been talking with the candidates, we'll be talking to all of the candidates, and there are five Republican candidates who hope to win the primary and then face off against longtime sheriff, the Democrat Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk. Mark, thanks for being with us, and again, your website
is marknapier4sheriff.org. Thank you very much
for having me on, Bill. Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show will be continuing at 12:45, and coming up next, an interview with the Senate President, Steve Pierce. Lots to talk with President Pierce about. Stay with us.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12, coming up on 12:48. Looking for a cool weekend getaway? We'll consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, the mile-high elevation makes for mild nights and cool mild days and cool nights. There is so much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is now open. There is no shortage of great places to stay, like Georgetown Cabins. Check out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Steve Pierce, Republican State Senator from Prescott, who is the President of the Arizona Senate. And President Pierce, thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's been 2 weeks now since the two new board members, Fletcher McCusker, Chief Executive of Providence Service Corporation, and Chris Schaefe, a developer and partner in Estes Homes, were appointed to the Rio Nuevo Governing Board, the state board, and these were the two Senate appointees. You dropped two of the Senate appointees, Jody Bain and Rick Grinnell, in favor of Mr. McCusker and Mr. Schaefe. Why did you make that decision? What was the bottom line on your decision?
Bottom line is those people had been appointed by past President Bob Burns, and they'd been there 2 years. I'd been coming down here meeting with people for several months. I've been down here every other week for several months, and we've met with a variety of different people. Everybody says you need to either do something about Rio Nuevo or kill it and get it over with, because it's just killing it. We're not doing anything. It's a drain on taxes. We just have to get something done. So I had some names given to me, and these are two people that I picked that I think are going to, they're on a timeline now, which has never been done before, to where they have 6 months to produce something and a year to come up with a plan, or else we will advocate for the whole plan to go away. And I think the speaker recently made an appointment. He gave the same thing to his appointment.
There was an op-ed, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, from Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek in today's Arizona Daily Star. And generally he is in favor of what you are advocating, but he says, really, the only neutral investigation that's being conducted is tied up in the state attorney general's office, and that's the investigation that needs to be released to all parties so they'll have the benefit of seeing the results and taking steps to address the concerns that will be more than likely to be raised in its findings. Where is this AG reports right now?
It's with the AG's office. You know, the audit was released here. It was done, I think it was last year. It was released. It was signed in December. It was released recently, and it has the accounting of where all the money has been spent, where it went, where all the money came from, and it shows where everything is. It has gone to the Attorney General's office. They are looking at to see if there's anything fraudulent, if there's anything criminal. They're investigating it, see what's going to happen from there. I have no idea how fast they'll move on it. It's like guessing when the Supreme Court's going to make a ruling on something. We just don't know. But I have been in touch with them. I've asked them to try to expedite if they could and move this thing along so we can help Tucson get this thing either on track or put it to rest.
And you've given a time frame of you want to see some kind of progress within 6 months. Is that correct?
6 months on the revenue part of it as to where everything is, and I've pretty much gotten that already. And it's made public. Everybody knows here's where the money is. Now, what the public doesn't know is things that are coming out all of a sudden here in the last week. There's over $10 million in the bank and at non-interest-bearing accounts. There's a number of issues that are wrong down there. There's a property, a historic property that belongs to Rio Nuevo, that's been gone to a lien auction, and the taxes were never paid on it. There's a lot of things that have been going on recently that are just poor business mismanagement. And hopefully, we're going to get that straightened out for you, so you all can have the benefits of this TIF that it could be. And you know, there's no reason for it to be failing like it is, except that it's been pushed back and forth between groups and fought over between the city and the board members. And there's no reason that you guys in Tucson should not have the same benefit of it as Phoenix did with their convention center down there and their when they built the stadium, their stadium district. So Tucson deserves this, and I hope this is an action that will help to put things back on track and get things moving for you.
Steve Pierce is with us. He's the president of the Arizona Senate. We're talking about Rio Nuevo. And one of the conditions that you put in place is that the plan, you want to see this plan move forward over the 6 months. And as Councilman Kasachek said in that op-ed piece, that would require a change to the 2009 legislation regarding the use of tax increment money used to fund Rio Nuevo. What do you say to that?
Oh, I'd have to look at it. I don't think that's accurate. I know he's called me and we've talked about that, but we're going to talk some more. We'll look into it and see. If that needs to be done, we can do that. But, you know, there's a number of things right now that the law says had to be done, and it hasn't been done. They don't even have their bond rating from last November. They don't have, if everybody will just kind of give it some time in the next few weeks, there's going to be a lot of stuff come out that's I think it will be enlightening. It's not devastating. I think it will be enlightening to you, my critics, and to the critics of Rio Nuevo. And I think it will help. And if it doesn't, and we can't get this thing moving, boy, it's time to let it sunset.
And do you think there will be plenty of supporters to let it sunset if they don't see some progress very soon on this?
From what I hear from people, yeah, they either want something to be accomplished or let it go away. Because, you know, the audit that was done, it was December of 2010. There was a number of things that they said in the audit that should be changed down there. And gave them recommendations. Here's what you ought to do. Develop a short-term strategy for the use of available funds. Develop policies, assure new intergovernmental agreements. I mean, there's a lot of things. None of those were followed. Nothing happened. Nobody followed through and did a thing on it. So now I'm being criticized that people are saying, well, you didn't let it have enough time. Well, I think there's been more than enough time. There's been too much time. And there's going to be some changes. I think the speaker made a change. I think the governor is going to make a change or two. And it's time for you guys to either, for this board to either fish or cut bait, and it's time to move forward for the good of all of Tucson and the taxpayers down here. This is all about, there's been a lot of money, a lot of taxes have been paid that have been put into projects that have never amounted to anything, that have never come to fruition, that have never been developed. It's all ideas, and it's just terrible, the waste and how it's been squandered, but it's going to get better. I'm confident the people that are there now and that are coming, it's been brought back to the top of the list, and I think people are going to work hard at getting things done. So hopefully this is the time that this is the third time that maybe this is going to make it happen.
And you were accused by one of the Rio Nuevo board members, Alberto Moore, of being part of some kind of a conspiracy. So how did you take that news?
Well, I've been accused of lots of things, and that couldn't be further from the truth. I never even talked to the man. He's never asked me anything. There's a blog down here, which, by the way, I'm a right-wing conservative, and there's a blog that's a conservative blog that says, I got $22,500 from a couple people, which I haven't. They said that I was summoned down here by a person. I've never been summoned down here. I came down here all on my own. I was, in the past, I believe that Pima County has been overlooked and shortchanged by Maricopa County. And it's my belief, Pima has always stuck up with rural counties like I live in Yavapai County. And it's always the rural counties and Pima County that work together to get things done and to try to prevent Maricopa County from getting everything. We work hard. And I think it's just right for Pima County to get their own due down here. And they really haven't done that in the past. And it's Rio Nuevo could be that salvation for them if it was done right. I think it can be. I think they can still use it and get some good benefit out of it. I think good business people that understand business and real estate working on it like there are right now, I think you'll see some changes. And again, if they're not there and they don't come about, why, it's time to let it sunset and let's get some new ideas coming from Pima County and the citizens that live down here and the people you send to the legislature. Let's have some new ideas of what do you want to do if this doesn't work. But the two people I replaced were into litigation. They were spending a lot of money on litigation. There's a timeline where everything's kind of slowed down, to where it was all investigating and accusing, and it was just wrong. Now, let's say, if there is something that they find, then the law needs to be upheld, the Attorney General needs to step in, or whoever needs to step in, and do something about it. I hope they come in and do it to the full extent of the law. They need to. That's the way we operate. But these people that have been mouthing off and accusing falsely of me and others, they're wrong. There's no hidden agenda here. I've told
Gotta
you
go.
Everything there is right now.
Arizona Senate President Steve Pierce, thanks for being with us. Have a great afternoon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks a lot. Senate President Steve Pierce on the Buckmaster Show, where bottled water is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water, and they have a wide variety of water treatment products and services. Why does their water taste better? It just does, folks. It's great water. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We do it all over again tomorrow on Wednesday at 12:04. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.